This sermon on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 to 20 was recorded at our Rabbeinu congregation on Sunday, March 17, 2019. It's titled One Light. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online at www.salt.church.
Although the days are evil, everything submits to the Lord Jesus, so live as children of the light. Although the days are evil, everything submits to the Lord Jesus, so live as children of the light. When he stood up and took the microphone, I was nervous about what he was going to say. I knew the man, have done for a while now, even said hello to him before the meeting began. The room was filled with concerned Christians, leaders and members from churches meeting with a federal senator. The forum was to discuss current political issues and the topic of same-sex marriage had just been raised. I know this because I raised it. I asked my question to the senator. But then he took the microphone, this man, and gave his name and told us where he was from. He attended a Presbyterian church nearby and started by quoting a few Christian leaders, who, amongst other things, had been encouraging Christians at the time to be gracious in our speech, not to treat people as enemies if we disagree with them. Hard to argue with that kind of stuff, isn't it? It's Christianity 101. But then this man let forth upon the senator what sounded like a prophetic announcement of impending divine judgment. God made Adam and Eve, he said, not Adam and Steve. Literally, these were the words that followed on from "we should be gracious in our engagement." He recalled the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. He reflected on the rainbow as a sign of God's promises, but now it's being used as a symbol of rebellion. "We should reclaim the rainbow," he exclaimed. He wanted the rainbow back. Then he sounded like one of the prophets of Israel, only announcing judgment now upon wicked Australia. "Take this message back to the Prime Minister," he said to the senator. "Our government leaders are messing with the Almighty God. Our nation's leaders are on a collision course with the Almighty. They are bringing God's judgment upon themselves." If Corinne hadn't texted me at that moment to come home for dinner, I probably would have left the meeting anyway. How should we respond in these days of evil? We're only reminded again on Friday of how evil these days are, weren't we? How do we respond as Christians to any number of growing social concerns that we might have? Do we just read the riot act to our politicians? Do we threaten them with the impending judgment of God, misquoting and misapplying the Bible as if God gave the Old Testament law to Australia, as if he made his Old Testament promises to his chosen people, the Australians? Is that what it means to be children of the light? Even when we're afraid of the dark, is this how we are meant to conduct ourselves? We all agree that we need to be gracious and loving, but then we're mocking with our words, aren't we? Should we insist that everyone should be like us, but not give them any reason for why they should live differently? Posing Sharia law in one breath while quoting the Ten Commandments in the next. How should we respond as Christians to these issues? How should we respond as Christians to any of these moral issues? How do we respond because the days are evil? It's like Christians have not only lost their voice in the public square, our opinions are no longer welcome there, but we've also lost our audience too, haven't we? They've been turned off by the things that we've said. At some point, we need to own some of this, I think. Acknowledge that we've gotten some of this wrong. We claim to be Christ's ambassadors, but we've not always been great representatives of him, have we? It's not just hard hearts and unbelief. It's also a lack of gracious gospel engagement with people. For far too long, Christians have been telling people how to live instead of showing them why we live differently. For too long, we've been preaching the law and its commandments while keeping the gospel of grace to ourselves. For too long, we've moralized and demonized, but failed to point others to the one who forgives all of our failings. How is it possible to debate an issue, but fail to mention Jesus? It's really simple. Let me show you how. We forget who we are. We forget who we once were. You see, our identity has changed. Who we are is who we are now in Christ. We are radically different, so we need to live radically different lives. Although the days are evil, everything submits to the Lord Jesus, so live as children of the light. The contrast between who we used to be and how we are now should be as obvious as day is from night. It's light and dark, black and white. There should not be any shades of grey. And Paul's been pretty clear with the Ephesian Christians, hasn't he, about how much things have changed for them. Look there with me again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. We were dead in our transgressions. See it again there. God raised us up with Christ. That's radical transformation, isn't it? Saved by God's grace. We were dead, now we're alive, we were in our transgressions, now we're in Christ. That's a massive change of identity, isn't it? From death to life in Jesus. That's the gospel, that's the good news about Jesus, the good news that now brings a change in our behaviour. How we live is shaped by who we are. The gospel changes everything. Actually, Paul insists that it does. Chapter 4, verse 17, see it again with me. So now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Again, you were reminded last week that this isn't a helpful suggestion. It's not a good piece of apostle advice. It's an imperative. It's a command, a biblical command with all of its full force. Paul insists we live differently to everybody else. Don't live like you're still dead. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Because although the days are evil, everything submits to the Lord Jesus. So live as children of the light. Remember, that's God's big plan for everything. God's bringing everything to unity in Jesus. And so submitting to Jesus as Lord means bringing everything in our life into unity under Christ. See it again, chapter 1, verse 10. A plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, that's Jesus, things in heaven and things on earth. Because God's making everything one in Christ. All things, heaven and earth, under Jesus. So we need to live differently. We need to live as children of the light, to be like God, chapter 5, verse 1. We need to walk in love and follow God's example. But what does that look like exactly? Well, Paul starts spelling it out for us there in chapter 5, verse 3. Got your Bible there? Chapter 5, verse 3. But sexual immorality and impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. In the beginning, the God who said, let there be light, now says, let there be thanksgiving. There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality amongst us, not to be named here amongst us. Now, if you started reading the Bible, if you picked it up for the first time and started reading it from chapter 5, verse 3 of Ephesians, you might think Christianity is just a bunch of rules. And if all you've ever heard from Christians was, don't do this and don't do that, and it's wrong because God says, you'd probably think that Christians are against everything too, especially anything remotely interesting, exciting, or a little bit fun. And you know what, friends? That's exactly what people think about Christianity, isn't it? Because that's what we've been telling them. You know why Australians aren't identifying with Christianity? You know why the latest census figures indicate Christianity is in decline in this country? It's because for decades, churches have been telling people how to live instead of telling people how Jesus changes lives. But we live differently, because we've been made differently. Made again, we're a new creation. Chapter 4, verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, look here carefully, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The call for radical change in our behaviour, this discernible difference in the things that we now do, comes from the complete transformation of our identity. We're a new creation, created to be like God. So who we are changes now how we live. So who are you? Well, you're the children of God. And notice that not one sin here is greater than another. Sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. Greed is in the same sentence there as immorality because it brings about the same sentence from God, doesn't it? We get outraged by other people's sexual misconduct, but we're very quick to turn a blind eye to our own greed, aren't we? The accumulation of our own wealth, the storing up of our treasures for our pleasures, the keeping up of appearances, of outdoing the neighbours. Generosity is the opposite of greed. We walk in love. But none of these things in verses 3 and 4 have any place among us, although they're commonplace amongst the Gentiles, aren't they? Shameful speech and foolish talk and vulgar jokes are now out of order in God's new created order. Our speech is from a new tongue. We speak a different language instead of cursing and complaining and crassness. Our speech ought to be punctuated by thankfulness. Why thankfulness? Why thanksgiving? Well, because we were dead, but now we're alive with Jesus. Remember, if we belong to Jesus, we belong to his kingdom, and all of these things are being brought together under his headship. So we walk in love. As citizens of God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, our lives need to be lived differently. Thanksgiving is speech that gives to others. They're not words that take or rob people of their value and their dignity. Jesus gave himself for us, so we use our words and our lives to love God and love other people by giving to them with our words. There needs to be a discernible difference in the way that we behave to everybody else. Look there at verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Don't be deceived by empty words. All of these things, they are out of order for God's new people. Judgment of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. You see, Paul's setting up a contrast here between the children of God and the sons of disobedience. But before you all get too excited and comfortable, before you start feeling proud and superior to everybody else, dangling the keys of your eternal inheritance, telling everyone else to pull up their socks because you're in church and they're not, the posture that we need to adopt here is one of humility, not pride. We should be moved to compassion, not condemnation. Let me remind you again that we were all once sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked and following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Make no mistake, friend. We were sons of disobedience. We were deserving of God's judgment. But the things that once identified us as the sons of God should no longer identify us as the children of God. People say love is love. But we believe that God's love is love. And God's love for us means that we can walk in love towards others. Race, greed and immorality and impurity, we just don't go by that name anymore. no longer known at this address. Contrasting behaviour between the children of God and the sons of disobedience, it needs to be stark. We've been saved by God's grace, adopted as the children of God. And so if you're a child of God, you should never forget who you once were. Actually, Paul's not going to let you. Chapter 5, verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. All that belongs to the darkness is shameful and fruitless. But the adopted children of God, they walk in light, not in immorality, impurity and greed, but in godliness, in righteousness and in truth. See, we're to live differently than we were before, as different as light is from the dark. Now, if God's children are involved in shameless and fruitless deeds, if these things are being named amongst us, we'll see it there. They need to be exposed. It needs to be brought out into the light, doesn't it? It needs to be revealed. There shouldn't be any cover-ups in the church. No well-kept secrets here, friends. No place in the kingdom of light for darkness. God's bringing all things to unity in Christ. We shouldn't be sweeping things under the carpet. Don't be deceived. God's word says everything will submit to Jesus. But it's also not our job to be exposing everything either. We're not meant to be moral crusaders of any kind. Paul's talking to the Christians in Ephesus. We don't need to be shining the light of interrogation on how dark the world is, do we? We already know it's dark. We were once sons of disobedience. These shameful and fruitless deeds shouldn't be named amongst us. We've been named as God's children. And it's the gospel that brings these things to light, isn't it? Look there at verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We reveal so that God might shine his light into our darkness. We expose, see it there, for the purpose of restoration. As children of the light, we live in the light, so our light is to shine before all men, because it was God who said, let there be light. God himself who lives in inapproachable light. By the light of the gospel, God causes his light to shine into our darkness. Jesus who shines the light of his love into our darkest place. Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. Jesus, the great light who now dawned on those of us who once lived in darkness. So if you see something that needs to be exposed, if darkness has been brought to your attention, then our purpose is always restoration, never condemnation, because we were once darkness too. Posture of humility, not pride, of compassion, not condemnation. So Paul tells the Ephesians to walk wisely, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wisdom is knowing the will of God in these dark days. Let me say it again for you if you want to write it down. Wisdom is knowing the will of God in these dark days. Friends, God has revealed his wisdom to us. Don't be foolish. Don't be unwise. God's already shown you his eternal purposes. See it again, chapter 1, verse 8. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Wisdom is understanding what God is doing. All things are being brought to unity in Jesus. Wisdom is walking in accordance with the plan of God. God's plan is to bring everything under the headship of his Son. You already know what the Lord's will is. So be wise. Don't be foolish. Because although the days are evil, everything submits to the Lord, Jesus, so live as children of the light. But I want to say this to you this morning. Be careful out there. These days that we live in, they are evil. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled again. The evil one still rules over those who live in disobedience, but we are no longer under his darkness. No longer dead in our transgressions. We are the children of God. We've been raised up with Christ, recreated to be like God, walking in his love and light and wisdom, bringing all things in our life under the submission of the Lord Jesus, because all things are being brought to unity in him. So, don't be filled with beer, wine and spirits at BWS. Be filled with the Spirit instead. Look there at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to have a drink, which I think is the assumption here, don't get drunk. What comes out of us isn't to be wild and reckless, but thankfulness to God, for we are his new creation. We were once in darkness, but now we're the children of the light. We were once unlovely, but now we are, because of his great love, recreated to walk in his love. We were once foolish and unwise, but now we've received the wisdom from God, created again to be like God. So we give thanks to God through all of our words, don't we? Because of God's revealed word to us. In Christ we've been made his children. In Christ he's revealed his wisdom to us. So we walk in wisdom. We walk in the revealed wisdom of God, singing and speaking words that give life to others because the word of God has given life to us. See, friends, that's how we're to respond to moral issues. That's how we're to live in these dark days of evil, with words that are gracious to those who still live in darkness, because in our darkness, God spoke his word of grace to us. God's children can give thanks for everything, everything, even in the uncertainty of these evil days, because we know that God has a plan and a purpose for all things, bringing all things to unity in Jesus. I wonder if you can see the fullness of our redemption now. See, everything in heaven and on earth is being placed under the feet of Jesus. And I'm wondering if you can see God's plan and purpose to bring order into all that is chaotic, because he's bringing all things in his new he's bringing all things under Christ in the new creation. And if you've still got your Bible open there, I'm wondering if you can see these words in the passage: fruit, deceive, shame, exposed, light, darkness, evil, wisdom. They're all the same words that are found in Genesis 1 to 3, aren't they? The account of the creation and the fall. But here we are again, circled back round, so that we might obey God's word this time, walking in love, light, and wisdom in his new creation. Will you pray with me? Father, while the world is at a loss to know how to respond to the evil that is so prevalent amongst us, and the whole range of emotions that exists in a building like this one this morning, following the events of Friday, it's hard for us to know how to respond to, what to make of it, what to do with it. Lord Jesus, would you help us to be people who walk as children of the light, who respond graciously with words because you've spoken your words so graciously to us. Help us to be people who are of the light and to call those who still live in darkness not to live differently, but to come to the one who changes us. We pray that we would not be moralizers, but people who show others that Jesus has changed us. Thank you, our Father, that you've called us your children. Thank you that you've brought us from death to life. Thank you that you've revealed all things to us. And in a world that we cannot make sense of, we give you thanks that you've told us how it's all going to end. All things brought to the submission of Jesus. And so in the knowledge and certainty that you will bring all things that you've planned and purposed to fulfillment, we pray that you would help us to live in such a way that reflects your light, your glory, and your truth. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.